This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganas Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a lady who tried to give her daughter the beautiful name of Cora. I love it.
That's a great name. That's the mum out of Downton Abbey. Her name's Cora.
Cora, mm-hmm. Right. There you go. I also think that was Marlon's wife's name in Finding Nemo. Wasn't her name? Or
yes,
maybe
it was
Coral.
It was Cora. No, Cora. It was Cora.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful name. I love it. Spelt K-O-R-A, which I think is how...
You can also give it a bit of C-O-R-A action.
Perfect. Yeah. And I think that's how they would have spelt it in Finding Nemo because they're all
Coral.
Fish puns and stuff. Coral.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's going to do that and... Whatever reason, I think it's like maybe a scanning error, but she has, instead of writing C-O-R-A, K-O-R-A, she's written K-O-R-N.
Mm.
Freak on a Leash style, corn.
Yes, the early noughties.
Maybe last time you'll hear corn on hit.
Well, the early noughties, new metal band. Well, not the last time, because also...
There we go.
Yeah, it's very, very, very relevant moment to everybody who is my age's first iPod playlist, usually.
Now,
2002.
I don't want to poo-poo the name for anyone out there who's named Corn, but that's not what they wanted her daughter to be called.
Cora,
as I said. So, Corn is not it.
Yep.
I don't think it's... Obviously, it's not what you want. Mm. I don't think a lot of people getting around being named Corn, but... Honestly, is it that much worse than Apple?
No, I think corn's fine. There's another thing that I want to talk about, if you'll permit me.
We'll see.
There are a lot of jobs where you can take the foot off the pedal.
Okay,
like a
yeah.
lot of jobs.
Like, this one, for example.
This one, perfect example. Yeah. Give you full of behind the scenes little peek at this job.
Yeah.
For cash controller yesterday, people basically told us half of how it worked.
Perfect.
We had to work out basically the rest of the way it worked.
I thought you were talking about you and I.
No. We were told by people in charge of it.
Yes.
Half of how it worked. But that didn't matter. It still sounded fine.
Yeah.
We worked it out. This, putting a person's name into the system.
Right.
You can't take your foot off the pedal at this job. You have to get this 100% right 100% of the time. Exact same thing happened in Yass. I don't know if you see the news. Somebody who was filling up like a fuel distributor apparently put diesel into the unleaded tank and a bunch of people put diesel into their car.
Right.
That's another job where you have to pay attention 100% of the time.
Yeah, it really does affect people long term. More so than getting your oil changed or your petrol changed.
I cannot have a job where it needs to be right 100% of the time. I know that in myself.
Yeah, of course.
And I think whoever works at the name department here at this hospital probably should have also known this in themselves.
Okay.
I can't have a 100% strike rate job. It's too important.
Let's say it's not corn. Let's go, what's the best vegetable name? What would you, if you had to name your son or daughter
zucchini.
A vegetable? Zucchini.
Zucchini. I just love saying that word.
Zucchini.
Zucchini.
All right.
And you could call them meanie. It's like you can
nickname. You shouldn't.
Yeah. Zucchini.
I don't mind. What about, I was going to say onion, but that seems bad.
Well, it's kind of has a negative connotation because onions have quite a full-on taste.
Yeah, okay. What about pumpkin?
Pumpkin's good.
Pumpkin's more of a nickname, though.
Yeah, pumpkin is like a nickname. I just can envision...
We can't go potato.
I'm just envisioning a situation where basically they went up to the name office at this place.
Yeah.
And like, because I'm thinking this maybe isn't a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone up to the name office at this place. Just you come up and tell me, like, I'll be the person working there.
Yeah.
And you pretend that you've got a problem with the name I've accidentally put down as corn. Okay.
Go.
Sorry. Let me just turn this down. Sorry. What's the problem?
I mean, we're at a hospital, so...
I just like rocking out to my favourite band.
You said you were going to turn it down.
I'm turning it down. Yeah.
Okay.
Just my favourite band, sorry.
Okay, so we have a daughter.
So what's the issue?
Yeah, okay.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is an animal that's helping out with household chores that I think's great. As long as everyone can get this service.
Okay.
It'll be very hard to wrangle these animals because they are wild, but I think that if we can get this off the ground, it's a chore that no one likes doing, and it's like always in movies of like, ugh, I've got to go and do this. There's been a cockatoo in the Blue Mountains of New South Wales who has helped out a family by clearing out their gutters. He's just like picking stuff up with his mouth and his feet and just throwing it out.
Of the gutters?
Of the gutters. Yeah, he's like fully doing a good job.
Fire prone area as well. So he's actually helping be fire safe.
And that's what people are saying. He's very, 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 very careful moving some debris for them.
Jeez. I know. What a fantastic little effort by this cockatoo. That's amazing.
It is quite nice. And he is doing a pretty good effort. Look, you would probably have to go up there and double check. It's
like
a toddler. Mm. It's like once you ask them to do something, you probably should go and check on the fact that they've done it. But
especially when we're talking about the fire safety thing. Really, don't just count on the cockatoo doing the whole thing for you.
For toddlers, I more meant like brushing their teeth. And for cockatoos, don't trust them to make sure your house is bushfire safe ready. Anyway, getting it one up there, I think is honestly pretty good. I think this is great. And if this is the beginning of getting other animals to do stuff for us, fantastic.
Yeah, this is fantastic news in a number of fields because I don't think the cockatoo is probably getting much out of this apart from maybe there's...
A bit of fun for him.
Yeah, well, a bit of fun. Or do you think he thinks there's like some, you know, because if you see a pile of leaves on the ground, maybe there's some worms or something at the bottom of it. Does he think maybe there's food in the gutters? Because maybe that's how we continue this happening. Just every now and again, drop a couple of worms in the gutter and just teach over a period of time cockatoos to essentially do one of the world's least exciting jobs for you.
Exactly right. Well, it looks like he's just kind of having fun, but it also kind of looks like he's having too much fun. Like he thinks this is going to be annoying for people because he's like, he's not just like picking it up and dropping it out of the gutter.
So
he's
maybe
like
you're saying,
flicking it and having a bit of fun.
A pantomime would be, this might be a rebellious cockatoo. So you'd have
like,
to go,
oh, don't do that.
Oh, what have you done?
Yeah,
well, you're actually like, hell yeah, that's awesome.
Exactly
it's working out really well for me.
That's
just
exactly what
go out and pretend that you don't like it. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Very interesting.
I'm trying to think of other animals, that Australian animals you could get to do stuff. Obviously, patting down like dirt, but I can't really think, unless you're making, I'm sort of thinking of like BMX tracks, you can get kangaroos and wallabies for
I had a different idea for kangaroos because I watched a documentary about kangaroos the other day. They actually hop at an incredible speed.
They're quite fast.
So if you could train the kangaroo to eventually return to your backyard, whack a jumper on them, and then they could dry your jumper off just at high speed, like running while they're jumping.
That's pretty good.
Very much dry your jumper off. Yeah. That would be fantastic. You have to get them to come back.
Obviously,
otherwise you've just got a bunch of really cool-looking kangaroos. And it's just got some great hoodies.
We're getting slowly worn down by the amount of hoodies that I've got on them.
No, I am.
Echidnas would be good for drying, like, plates and stuff, I feel like. If you could get Well, because their spines are kind of like a rack. So if you could put like cutlery in between their spikes and plates and stuff. As long as they didn't move. But like if you just fed them ants or whatever they eat.
They didn't move.
Witchetty grubs. I don't know what they eat, but if you just fed them like insects, they'd probably stay put.
I don't think this is as much like Disney with the Cinderella thing. You look at that and go, that doesn't happen in the real world. Mm. We've got to look at this cockatoo thing and go, this is a miracle. Yeah. I don't think this is going to be a widespread thing.
I think you could probably use a snake as a shoehorn.
You are literally pitching at Pixar movie right now.
Yeah, well, if they will like it, please send me money.
Ned can kind of draw.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Last night, the old supermoon was meant to be the closest it sort of gets to Earth. It's pretty impressive.
Well, yeah, it was meant to be.
357,378 kilometres from Earth.
So close, you can almost touch it. It's also weird because it was called a pink supermoon.
Yes.
But then everyone was like, just so you know, it's not actually going to be pink. It's still going to be normal color.
Do you know why they call it that?
Why?
Apparently it's named after the first pink flower in the season.
Which is white? Because the moon's still white.
Yeah, no, but it's called the pink moon.
Oh, because of the,
You just sort of start to see pink flowers. I'm guessing that must be in the northern hemisphere because here it's starting to turn into winter, so all the flowers are dying, so.
Exactly right. And also, I was a little confused because when it's a blood moon, it is red.
Yeah, it's very red.
So I just thought we were just going by colours.
Yeah, no.
And like once in a blue moon, you never see them. That's why they say that. But
it's a whole thing.
Very confusing.
I was pretty let down by it, to be honest.
Me too. Here's how let down I was, okay? So at about, I looked it up, Dr. Brad Tucker, who has been on this show many a time before, he said that honestly, around about 6 p.m. is when you want to start having a look.
All right.
And apparently it was going to be peak at about 1. But I was
1 a.m. Did you get up at 1 a.m.?
No.
I was going to say.
No. But apparently, like, the build up was going to be from 6 till 1.
Okay.
I went out at 7 and had a look, and I was like, oh, it's pretty big. But I was like, this can't be it. Obviously, we're working up to it.
Yeah.
Went back inside, came back out at 9 and was like, the same. Okay, it's fine. I guess we're still 4 hours away. And then just as I was going to bed at like 10:30, almost 11, I went out. And I was like, well, all right, well, it's about as good as it's going to be before I go to bed. And I looked out and I was still like, this could be any moon.
Mm-hmm.
It was bright. Don't get me wrong. It was bright, but it was certainly... Not super.
Every time I tried to look at it, it was covered by clouds, which, I mean, isn't the moon's fault.
No,
but I was
no.
pretty disappointed in that, especially this morning, because it was like the clouds were like bright.
But it was pretty clear last night, but this morning's been awful.
Yeah. Hey, why did all of my friends in Sydney seem to be able to have really great photos of it where it looked way closer? That's what I didn't understand. Is it because they... This is going to sound so stupid. Is it because they're like closer to the coast?
Look, I don't...
Is the moon like... Yeah. Brighter near the ocean? Yeah. I don't... Yeah. I looked at photos from friends in Sydney going, oh, look at the moon. Yeah. I'm like, it doesn't look like that here.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I tell you what, 2 days ago when I was driving to work before this fog kicked in, I think on Tuesday, I literally, or maybe even Monday, whenever I was, I was like, God, the moon's huge today.
Massive.
And yesterday it was pretty lackluster. Mm-hmm. Actually, I tell you what, I'm confused as to why you're a bit annoyed, because you literally said on the show yesterday that you went out and bought a telescope. So it wasn't, I know you're saying it was cloudy last night, but I literally just looked, I walked outside and it wasn't cloudy at all. I was looking at the moon.
I haven't set the telescope up yet.
And you didn't think that...
So this big astronomical event, I bought a telescope 2 days before it and then didn't set the telescope.
Brad Tucker also went on to mention that this probably is it for 2021.
Really? Mm-hmm. For the moon?
Oh. Yeah, no, not for the moon, but for like super moon events.
I tell you what,
this
is my thing with big astronomical events, right?
Sure.
Astronomy events, whatever. See, how stupid I am.
Yeah, astronomical.
Whatever. The thing I'm saying, don't tell us about them. Because the thing you had on Monday, where you were like, geez, the moon's big.
Beautiful.
Fantastic. The second you start saying it's a super moon once a year, go and have a look at it.
Exactly.
You can only disappoint people.
Yeah.
Under promise, over deliver.
Exactly.
That's what
right.
I'm saying.
It's like if Superman was just like, looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. It's like, he's bigger, but he's not super.
He can run fast.
Yeah.
And then he flies. And you're like, oh my God.
But there was amazing.
There was no flying last night from that super
moon.
Just go,
the moon's going to be a little bit brighter than usual. Yeah. And then you step outside and go, oh my God.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Hey, here's like a little bit of a thing. My phone's currently updating to iOS 14.5, which has got the privacy tracking thing, like where you can turn apps off from tracking you from one thing to another.
Tell
them to no longer do it.
Yeah.
In that era that we're living in, this news website I'm about to read the story off literally says, it's like asking for me to subscribe and donate, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It has remembered how many articles I've read in the last year.
That's pretty weird. How many?
17.
No, that's not too bad. I thought it was going to be more.
I don't think that's worth me subscribing. Yeah. It's only 17 over a year.
If it's under 20, they've got to be like, well, honestly, you probably don't use it enough.
The reason I'm tying this in with the privacy thing, don't put that on your website.
Yeah.
If you know I've been to the website 17 times in a year, you've been tracking me for a year, don't tell me that.
Yeah.
That's going to make me never want to come back to your website.
Oh, it's pretty underwhelming
I understand that the whole internet does that, but don't tell me about it.
Yeah, do it in secret. That's what I prefer.
Ned, speaking of secret, somebody that investigates secret on a regular basis, well, fictional ones.
Mulder and Scully. From the X-Files. Yeah,
now,
good.
Obviously, they basically fly across the country, for as far as I can tell, on taxpayer money with the FBI's
the federal bureau.
Yeah, the travel account. With the second somebody thinks they've seen something.
Right.
So I've seen a man climb out of the sewer who looks like a lizard.
Get them
on a plane. Because we can't have that stuff happening in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I don't care if Mulder and Scully are in Virginia. Get them there. Make them have a look at what's going on with the lizard man.
It was a pretty self-sufficient task force, though, because it was only the two of them.
They
used to go, and they would solve, they'd solve next to none of them because it was never a lizard man.
Yeah.
But that was a pretty self-sufficient.
I just feel that what they actually would have been investigating is stories like what I'm about to tell you.
Okay, what's happened?
So basically what's happened is in a forest in Bavaria, what's gone on is there, and this is apparently quite common, 75 years after the end of World War II, basically... Somebody thinks they found a bunch of hand grenades.
Right.
So, like, we need to investigate this. Go and take a bit of a look.
Yeah, of course.
What's actually ended up happening is, and this is what I think would happen in the X-Files all the time, mistake, not hand grenades. The police have gone and investigated. Sex toys.
Right.
Yes. Yep. Look.
Yeah.
Shaped vaguely like hand grenades.
Really?
So, case closed.
Yeah. I mean, you would be pretty scared if you were the first person to go up and check it out.
Oh, you would.
And imagine like going, okay, so imagine I've seen like, I don't know that much about bomb defusal or whatever, but imagine if you were like the Hurt Locker. So you got the full outfit on,
the
helmet, the bomb, the whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you go over there and then you come back to where the safe space is and you tell everyone, it's like, they're actually sex.
Yeah.
They're sex toys.
Yep.
No one would believe you.
Took me so long to get this suit on.
Yeah.
I'm pretty angry about it.
And people are like, no, it's not. Go and have a look again. He's like, I could not be more certain that these are for sex.
These are not
grenades.
Actually hand grenades.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, what I think and this is the whole motto of this story.
Sure.
Because obviously this does happen a little bit in parts of Europe where they find grenades, old relics. Yeah. Yeah. But for the most part, if you think The X-Files is a great show, this is what they'd spend most of their time doing.
It's a lot sadder in reality.
It's like, oh, we've got an alligator in the pool in the backyard. Go outside. No, it's actually just an iguana.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, that's a huge sex toy. If it's crocodile size. 104.7,
Ned and Josh. This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7. Ned and Josh's 10K cash controller.
Take control of me.
On Hit 104.7. Try Anytime Fitness today with a free pass. And let's make healthy happen.
Yes, it is time for us to make healthy happen together, but it's also time for us to give somebody a share in this 10K. The 10K cash controller is up again. Basically, what happens, 30 seconds on the clock. Five trivia questions are going to be read out by Ned. Each one of them is worth $100. You are going to be joined on the line by a partner if you're the cash controller. If you're the partner, the cash controller will be on the line for you. Names as buzzers if you believe you have the answer to the question. You want to be sure about it, though, because the first person to name the buzzer is the one that will answer on behalf of the whole team. With that in mind, good morning, Thomas from Bruce. You are this morning's cash controller. Congratulations already.
Good morning. Thank you.
No problems at all, Thomas. We are ready to go. But before we do any of that, we have to say hello to Jess from Everett, who is your contestant this morning. Hello, Jess. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hi, Thomas. I hope you're doing well. How are
you
today?
That's very nice. You didn't even have to be prompted, Jess. You know what? You keep calling Jess the contestant.
Now, that's the legal term.
I reckon get rid of that. You're just on a team together right now. We'll figure out the money afterwards,
okay, yeah,
which Thomas will be in control of, but you're on the same team. You both have the same goal. You want as much money as possible. So
I like that.
As Josh said, you use your name as a buzzer if you think you have the right answer. That being said, if you do get it wrong, the $100 is gone.
Yeah, the $100 is gone.
Got to do... Sorry?
Does the time still kick on?
It still does tick on.
Yeah, it does. Exactly. The time marches along, my friend.
You just probably got to... That's the way that you guys will need to communicate if you aren't sure about an answer. Yeah, that's the best we can give you, Thomas. All right.
Yeah.
I reckon we just get into it. Seems like you guys know the rules. I'm just going to ask you five questions. We'll see how you go. All right, ready?
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Which Australian soap did Chris Hemsworth get his start on?
Jeff, Home and Away.
What is the common name for dried plums?
A prince. Prince?
What is the name of Batman's butler?
Jeff, Alfred.
What year was the first iPhone released?
No idea.
What is the name of the world's longest river?
Jeff, Nile.
Which year was the first iPhone released?
Time's up. There we go.
Well, if you want to guess, Jess, you can go for it. I can tell you if it was right or wrong.
2007?
2007 is correct.
Would have been correct.
But you ran out of time.
That being very said, disappointing.
You still have won $400.
Yes.
Wowee. All right, Thomas. The ball is in your court wholeheartedly, my friend. You get to decide what you would like to do. Jess, why don't you make your case for how much money you think you should get?
I feel we should split it because I think I answered three questions correctly.
Yeah, you did answer all the questions. But,
all right,
because I'm nice person, we'll just split it.
Oh, okay, there we go. All right, there we go. You made us made me nervous for a second, Thomas, because when you said you did answer most of the questions, but...
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you'll get no cash.
It.
Yeah.
Nah, not like that.
Beautiful work, Thomas. Perfect. Lovely.
Great. Great teamwork
good
there.
Teamwork,
yes,
guys.
Fantastic effort from Jess. Great generosity by Thomas. That is the nicest way the cash controller can go. And honestly, it's not what we like to see. We want a bit more drama. So tomorrow...
After a while, this might get a bit boring and I will start forcing people to turn on each other.
Nah, that is good. Good display of human nature this morning. The cash controller, it will be back tomorrow. The 10K cash controller. Thanks to Anytime Fitness.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned, anybody that's been to a comedy show here in Canberra,
We'll tell you that comedians enjoy making fun of the amount of roundabouts we have in this city.
Yes.
It seems to be the same joke. Every time you go to a stand-up, there's usually a localised couple of jokes where they, oh, it's good to be here in Canberra, blah, blah, blah. I've heard the roundabout thing done about four different times at four different comedy shows.
Seems like a low blow because there are a lot of roundabouts in Canberra, granted, but at the same time, no one really... Like, you don't hear any Canberrans talk about the roundabouts, actually. It's usually people who from out of state who are like, oh, can you believe it? And people are like, yes, I can believe the road works.
Yep. We've got a lot of stuff here that happens and flows quite seamlessly thanks to those roundabouts.
Exactly.
So just get around it, guys. Literally, get around it. And I'm sick of it being any kind of a blemish or any kind of a noteworthy topic.
Of course.
I think it's invaluable to know how to use a roundabout, especially... If you are in northeastern Kentucky, in a place called Rowan County, where there has been complete and total traffic chaos upon the introduction of their first ever roundabout.
In this town?
In this place, yeah.
Why?
In Moorhead, Kentucky.
They just can't figure it out.
They can't work it out. They don't know how to use a roundabout. And this is why I'm saying, we could have sent, I mean, obviously they would have had a quarantine and stuff, but we could have sent a special envoy to Moorhead, Kentucky to teach them how to use a roundabout. By special envoy, I mean L-plate drivers here in Canberra know how to use a roundabout.
Anyone who's ever passed any kind of driving test. It's bizarre. And I was going to say, well, surely you would have to pass the driving test to know that, but if they don't have any, they can't really take a learner driver to a roundabout and be like, deal with this if they've never had one.
I'm looking at this roundabout from the sky, and it has... Not only does it not look like the drivers in this town don't know how to use a roundabout, it looks like the people building the roads have never seen a roundabout.
Right.
Because it is quite confusing to look at. It's
how big is it? Are we talking about
classic? And this is one of the things, obviously, you see this in the suburban streets here in Canberra, not the big roads. This is a big intersection here between two highways.
Right.
And it is a single lane roundabout.
That's dumb.
So it kind of seems like that's just going to slow everyone down a lot.
Yes.
But also, the give way to the right thing is not explicitly clear here by this whole looking at the roundabouts.
Well,
so,
and aren't they on the other side of the road?
Give way to the, I guess it would
so
give
you
way
give
to
way
the left,
to left,
wouldn't it? Yes. Okay. So the whole way is supposed to work. There's no arrows, there's no nothing. They've just dumped this thing in the middle of the road and gone, work it out. So I feel a little bit bad for them, but at the same time, as somebody who drives around here pretty often, I just can't imagine a world where you've never seen a roundabout before.
Exactly right. And maybe the builders kind of assumed what I assumed when I started learning how to do roundabouts, where I was like, when I was first learning to drive with my parents, obviously now I know, but I was like, well, I hopefully will just never get to a roundabout when anyone else is there, so I will never have to wait for anyone or check my left or my right. I'll just go straight through. Sounds like the builders had the same ideology of like, as long as no one turns up to this at the same time or no one's going around it when you want to go through it, this will work flawlessly.
The one thing they have done, though, and this is a sign of people nervous about the users of a roundabout, the mound in the middle is very much not drivable over.
Right,
they've made it quite clear you're not supposed to just go straight through.
Which I've seen some of the trucks that are in America, they would.
Good call. Good call to put that barrier there to go, guys, go around, not straight through.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast.
Ned, I have a game for you to play and all of Canberra to play right now.
Great.
Essentially, I had a problem last night that took me about 30 minutes to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I solved it, I felt like an idiot because I feel like the solution is right there in front of you.
Okay.
And I just didn't get it.
Well, run me through it. What's the problem?
So yesterday, we went down to Better Music and Simo and the team down there looked after me, got myself a brand new Fender guitar. I'm going to learn to play the guitar.
Yes.
And when I say the team of Better Music and Simo looked after me, what I mean by that is Simo was a legend. He got me the guitar. I very much paid for it. It wasn't free. So they were
looked after me.
Like I got a free guitar. Yeah. No,
what happened was you walked into an establishment and someone served you and then got you what you paid for.
But Simo was great and did a fantastic job at serving me. So
paid employee.
They did look after me.
Yeah.
He also played the guitar a little bit and it was like magic because I was like, I'm never going to be this good, but this is pretty great.
And he honestly just seemed like he was strumming.
Yeah,
so he was setting the bar insanely low for yourself.
But that's why I'm excited to start this journey. I'm going to learn to play the guitar. And the great thing about the guitar is it came with a 3-month subscription for free to the Fender, like teach you the guitar app.
Sure.
There's an app that you can pay for and it teaches you how to play the guitar. And I was like, this is fantastic. I can do this in my own home. Love it. What I did was I flipped the card over and did the scratch-off thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the scratch-off thing didn't come off properly.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, maybe this is a peel-off situation where you peel off to reveal the code underneath the scratch-off thing so you can redeem your voucher.
Yep.
It kind of wasn't. It was meant to be scratched with a coin. For whatever reason, it just wasn't working. But the way it was working was the peel-off did reveal the code underneath. It was printed on the card.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is I tore off one of the letters slash numbers in the code when I peeled off the sticker. Pretty amazing I only peeled off one, to be honest, but I peeled off one. So I was missing one number slash letter out of this code that redeemed me my 3 months free guitar lessons.
Yeah.
How do you think you'd solve that problem? This is the game for you. This is the problem that caused me 30 minutes of being stumped, frustrated, feeling stupid for peeling it off and costing myself three free months of lessons.
Yeah.
How would you, and keep in mind I told you to think laterally, so don't think call customer service, don't think take the card back.
Yeah.
How would you solve the problem of having an entire code on a gift voucher to redeem?
How many letters were there before? How many digits was it, I should say?
I think it was probably four on one side and like six on the other. Right. So I had everything except for this one like middle one.
Okay. And it was numbers and digits?
Numbers and digits in the whole rest of the code.
Well, numbers and digits are the same thing. Yeah,
how would you solve this problem?
I would try every combination because it's only 35 it can be.
You are smarter than me, my boy. Well done.
How did you not get to that?
30 minutes to get to that. Yeah. I literally got a torch and looked to see if I could see where the print maybe could give me a clue of what used to be there. Yeah. I was shining the torch through the card to see if I could, you know, that thing people do.
Yep.
And then I looked at a keyboard. It was only when I looked at a keyboard and I just went, well, I'm only missing one number or letter.
Yeah.
Why don't I just try every number and letter until eventually I get it?
Oh, I said 35, but I guess zero counts as well, so I guess it would be 36 variations.
Yeah, there's really only, I can literally go all of the numbers in the alphabet. Oh, no, sorry, all the letters in the alphabet and every number.
Yep.
And one of them will be right.
Exactly.
And the letter R was.
Ah!
It was R.
Right.
But I really thought it was a 7 when I was doing the torch thing. So. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Good work.
I don't know if I deserve any congratulations as you deserve to be dismissed.
Yeah, I was very tired yesterday afternoon.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
John Little, your Canberra region workers compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.